Good evening, everyone. This is the 13 Pillars, Part 10. Pillar 10, Yediyas Hashem, God's omniscience, God's knowledge, sponsored by Becky and Avi Katz, Ilu Nishmas Yonah Ben Rabbaya Leib, Danishmas of Surbatar Chaim. So this pillar, of course, a critical one, one that either sounds obvious or very profound, and maybe a little of both, is that God is all-knowing. Tied to the concept that God is all-knowing is the notion of Hashgacha Pratis, of the special providence that God has for man, whether it's all men or some men, of course women too, that we'll discuss next time. This Yisod is described by the Rambam in number 1 as follows. V'hayisod asiri, the 10th pillar, ki hu yis'ala yodeh ma'aseihem shel b'nei adam ve'eino ma'alim eino mehem, that God knows the deeds of mankind and does not turn his eye away from them. Lo chidas mishamar, not like the one who said azav Hashem es ha'aretz, that God has abandoned his world. It is to say, in the language of the philosophers, that God is like a carpenter who builds a table, and once he sells the table, he has no further connection with the table. It belongs to the owner. No, God created the universe and remains engaged. So not like the one who said that God has abandoned the earth, but rather, Kamo Shenemar, Gedol Ha'etza V'Rav Ha'Aliliya, possibly say in Tzidduk Adin, as it were, that God's great in counsel and mighty in deed, his eyes are always open to the ways of mankind. God saw the evil of man, Sodor Amabul, and Zakos Sodom Ba'amor Ki Rabo. Of course, God had a special treatment for Sodom and Amora. Their evil was great. The cry of iniquity was great. Zehu Mora al Hayesod Asiri Hezeh. All this speaks to God's knowledge, his complete knowledge. And of course, this is borne out by numerous psukim that we find in Tanakh. Just a sampling. Number 2, in Yirmiyahu, Im Yisaser Ish Bamistarim Va'ani La'arenu Mashem. Can a person hide in some concealed area, and I won't see him, God says. Halo es ha-shamay ves-aretz ani malei, num Hashem. But behold, I fill the heavens and the earth. And Yechezkel v'yomer elai, ha-ra'isa ben adam asher ziknei beis Yisrael, osim b'choshech, ish b'chadrei maskito. Have you seen, son of man is Yechezkel, have you seen what the elders of Israel do in private, in the dark, each one in his inner chamber? Ki omrim, they say, Ein Hashem Roel, son, who God doesn't see us. Azav Hashem es ha'aretz, God has abandoned the earth. And Tehillim, familiar to us as the Shir Shel Yom of Wednesdays, Yom Revi'i, Vayamru, Til Tzadi Dalud, Vayamru, Lo Yirekov, Lo Yovan Elokei Yaakov, and they will say that God does not see, the God of Yaakov does not understand. To that we say, Binu ba'arim ba'om, uchsilim masai taskilu, that you boors gain some understanding. Fools, when will you grow in intelligence? Hanote ozen halo yishma, he who implanted the ear, shall he not hear? Im yoser ayin halo yabit, he who formed the eye, shall he not see? Hayoser goyim halo yochiach, he who chastised the nations, shall he not rebuke you? Hamelamit Adam Das, the one who teaches man knowledge? No, Hashem Yodea Machshavos Adam, Ki Hei Mahavel. God knows the thoughts of man because they are a nullity. And at the bottom, in number 5, again from Yirmiyo, Ani Hashem Choker Lev Bochen Kloyos, V'lasteis Le'ish Kidrachov, Kifri Ma'alalov. That I am God, I discern hearts, I test one's innards, and I repay man according to the fruits of his own deeds. So really the Rambam said that God is Yodea Ma'aseihem Shel B'nei Adam, but we see that Ma'aseihem is, in its more expansive sense, not just deeds, but thoughts as well. That's Ani Hashem Choker Lev Bochen Kloyos. Man's fantasy, of course, from the sin of Adam Arishon until today, is that he can hide, that God does not see. Rav said famously, that's why we say in Al-Chayt, every Al-Chayt reads Al-Chayt Shechatanu Lifanecha, the key being Lifanecha. In fact, he said we're supposed to beat our chest at Lifanecha, not Al-Chayt. Lifanecha, before you, because when a person sins, it has to come on some level, conscious or unconscious, from a denial of the fact that one is before God and that God knows what is happening. So the tshuva comes from Lifanecha. Now this idea, this yisod of Yediyas Hashem, is also the basis of Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah in Musaf. Ata zocher ma'asei olam ufoked kol yitzurei kedem. That you remember, you record all the deeds of the world. You remember all of creation. Lefanecha neglu kol talumos. Everything hidden is revealed before you. V'hamon nistar shenu breishis. All that's been concealed from the beginning of time. Ki ein shikcha lefnei kisei kvodecha. There's no forgetfulness before your divine throne. Vein nistami neged enecha. There's nothing hidden from in front of you. Hakol golui v'yadua lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu. Everything is revealed and known before you. That is God's omniscience. Well, it's not only a principle, it's of course a halacha, it's a status that we have of human beings. If you look at number 9, the top left, Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel Halacha Ches, we've had the occasion the last few times to reference this perek. Shlosha Hein Hanikrem Apikarsim. The three types of people are called Apikarsim. One is a person who denies Nevuah, as the story we had in the past. I mean, he denies that there's any communication from God to man. It's another yisod. The person who denies the special quality of Moshe's prophecy. And thirdly, a person who says that the Creator does not know man's deeds, that God is uninvolved in the world. All of these three people are considered apikarsim. Now, there are two questions that we have to ask, because once we say that God is all-knowing, what else is there to say? He knows, obviously, what we don't. And therefore, there are two questions. The obvious one is the conflict, or the seeming conflict, between omniscience and free will. If God is all-knowing, then how is it that we can still act freely? If God knows what we're going to do, what choice we're going to make, so then in what realistic sense are we making a free choice? It's as if it's been programmed for us. So we have to try to understand that particular point. If God knows, asked another way, if God knows what man is going to do, then how can man ever act in a way other than that God knows that he's going to do? So if that would be the case, how can there be reward and punishment, since God knows what's going to happen? Second question is a little more esoteric, but it also follows the progression that we've had really since the first pillar. Much of knowledge is transient, meaning you learn something new. We realize this in our world. You learn new things every day. You learn new things every day means you've changed, you've grown, we've maybe diminished somewhat, depends on the knowledge. But knowledge is transient, but God is unchanging. Pasuk says in Malachi, number 12, Ki ini Hashem lo shamisi. One aspect of God that we posit is that God never changes. If God knows the transient, then his knowledge, by definition, would have to always be changing. In that case, God's omniscience would seem to conflict with the second yisod of Yichud Hashem, of God's unity. Unity means God, Yichud Hashem means God is an absolute unity, even to say there's no attributes of God. But knowledge is something with which a person is endowed. It's an added dimension that we have. So therefore, how can God have knowledge? if knowledge is something that is always changing, is always growing, we recognize this in our world. So I'll give you a good example. The knowledge of a 5-year-old can't be compared to that of a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old, a 40, 50, 60, 70. We add knowledge for each year that we are alive. So if knowledge is subject to this constant growth, then that would seem to indicate, as we understand it at least, that God has to be subject to some change because knowledge must grow as well. But how could that be? God can't have any added dimensions. Let's look at number 6. We'll explore the first question first, which makes sense. The Mishnah Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Tezvav, Hakol Tzafui V'Harashus Nisunah. That conundrum is summarized in this nutshell. Everything is foreseen, but man still has free choice. Well, it doesn't answer the question, but just states that as not a paradox. Everything is known, but nonetheless, Harashus Nisunah, man still has free will. The Rav of Avadi Bar Tanura, number 11 on the left side, comments, Hakol Tzafui, Kol Ma She'Adam Oseh B'Chadrei Chadorim Golui Lefanav. Whatever man does, even in his innermost sanctum, is revealed to God. V'Harashus Nisunah, yet B'Yado She'Adam Lasos Tov Hara. Man still has absolute free will to do good or evil. Ki dechsiv, re'eni sati lufanecha yom, esachayim esamoves, esatav esara. It's completely free. So how could that be? Yes.
Also, according to everything is foreseen.
Foreseen, right.
Yeah, but according to what the Rav says, how much the other person has to do with the
lufanecha? Totally.
It sounds as if it is revealed when he does it.
No, well, no, no, it's,
when he does it, not that no one's in the but when he does it,
I can see why you didn't say that. In other words, your reading of the Bar Tanura is that whatever a person does is known. It's not right. Okay. Hey, whatever it was done, but not necessarily before. Okay. Let's see. It could be that he avoids the conundrum that way. But that would be limiting of God's knowledge. Let's see the Rambam in number 7. The Rambam in this Mishnah, the Perush Mishnayos. He says there's a kolol nyan gadolim ahod. Obviously, it's very sophisticated here. He's discussed it before. Second line: kol mashav olam yadua etzlo yisale v'hu masigo. Everything in the world is known to him, and he apprehends it. V'hu amro hakol tzafui. That's the meaning of the Mishnah. Everything is known. Everything is foreseen. Achar kach omar v'lo tachshov shebiyoso yisale yodeh hapeulos. But you should not think that because he, the exalted, knows the deeds, therefore it obligates the imperative, meaning it makes it mandatory, unavoidable. And then, therefore, man should be coerced to do any action. It's not so. The Rambam is more elaborate than the Bar Tanura, but you see what the Rambam is saying, that God knows even the action before it takes place, and nonetheless, it involves no coercion of man. Each person chooses whatever he does. Umro, that's the second part. Harashus Nisuna. Sanaloma, Rishus Kol Odom Nisuna Lo. Everybody has free choice to do what he wants, as he explained in the 8th parak of the Shemona Prakim. And with that, so God judges man, he judges b'chesed, but God judges. That is the source of all judgment. Alright. Okay, well, what about number 10? The Gemara in Chulin of Zayim Beis. People either love or hate this Gemara. Amar Bichanino, Ein Adam Nokef Etzvo Milamato, Ela Imkei Machrizan Alav Milamalo. Bichanino said, a person doesn't stub his toe on earth unless it's decreed above. Of course, here it means finger, but that's our idiom. Shenemar Mashem Etzadeh Gavar Konanu. The man's steps are ordained by God. Vadam Ayavin Darko. Man is just almost a puppet, Rabbi Chanina says. So how do we understand that? Well, there are two ways to understand it. One, the simple pshat, is the Rambam doesn't accept it. He holds Das Yochid, Rebbe Chanina, it's not brought down Halacha. That's his opinion. But the second way to understand it is in terms of Yisurin. That's not quite the same as a moral choice. A moral choice is always going to be within the realm of people. But for one to be no kefetzbo, for one to suffer that type of inconvenience, physical discomfort, that might be decreed. That's completely different. To say that a person does not stub his toe is not quite the same as saying that a person is forced to steal or to cheat, because in the latter case you're in the realm of the moral, here in the realm of almost the victim. It's not quite the same. But I don't want to just gloss over that particular chazal. In any event, the Rambam didn't accept it philosophically. So how then do we answer this question, the first question? Of called Sofli v'Hershus Nesunam. Let's see the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud. The main point to keep in mind is that the mistake that we make is thinking that God's knowledge is the same as ours. Not just in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality. So we might think that because we know something, well, we can't really know something, but let's assume we could know something, therefore it must happen. That's only because our knowledge is based on cause and effect. In fact, our knowledge is based on events that have already happened, not that are yet to happen. But let's see what the Rambam says. We'll see it inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makir amito v'yodeo sa kemo shehi. God recognizes his essence, knows himself, so to speak, as he is. He doesn't have knowledge that is outside him as we do. She'ein anu v'daitenu echad, Ram says, that we are and our knowledge are not one. Avala boris barachu v'daito v'chayav echad mikol tzad v'mikol pino v'choderach ichud. But the Creator, he, his knowledge and his existence are all one, completely and wholly one, in the ultimate extent of yichud, of unity. Meaning what? When we know something, we have knowledge, we gain knowledge because it's outside us. We gain knowledge from the world around us. It's as if we're taking something from the outside and bringing it in. That's not God's knowledge. God's knowledge is not chutz mimenu, it's not separate and apart from him, but it is his essence. He, his knowledge, his existence are all one. She'el molei hoya chai b'chayim, v'yodea b'dea chutz mimenu. If God would just exist, like other beings exist, and knowledge would come to him from the outside, he would, so to speak, gain knowledge of something, then there'd have to be many gods. Many gods. Hu v'chayev adaito. It would be almost separate existences. You'd have God, you'd have his knowledge, his existence, everything would be apart. Just like, by the way, by analogy, that's how human beings are. There's us, there's our existence, there's our knowledge. It's not the same. We don't always have knowledge. We gain knowledge, becomes an added quality. We don't always exist. We die. We weren't born. So before we're born, we have nothing to say. But after we're gone, it doesn't mean we never existed. This person existed. But his existence was taken away. So his existence and himself are not identical. They're two separate phenomena. God is not like that at all. God is different. Ain't a dover came. Ela echad mikol tzad mikol pina v'kol derech yichud nimseis ata omer hu hayodeya v'hu hayodua v'hu hadeya atzma hakol echad. Comes out that he is the knower, he's the known, and he's the knowledge itself. What does it mean? The davar ze ein koach pepela omro, v'lo be'ozen l'shamo, v'lo be'lev ha'odem akir al burio. We can say it, we can contemplate it, but we can't fully understand it. We don't have the ability to understand a being that is the same as his knowledge, or the same as his essence. It's not part of our world. Now the Tanakh does refer to this idea in a number of ways. For example, Lefichach Omer Che Paro, Che Nafshecha. When Yosef swore, for example, he said the lives of Paro. Chei Nafshecha, but we never say Chei Hashem, the lives of God, so to speak. Ela Chai Hashem. What does Chai Hashem mean? Not the life of God, as if there's God in his life. Like they would say the life of, I guess the life of Brian, but the life of Yitz. Not Brian too. There's Yitz, there's life. It's not always the same thing. No, Chai Hashem means God lives. Not the life of God, but God lives because that's his essence. Shena Bori v'chayav Shnayim. He and his existence are not two separate entities. Kamo Chai Gufim Achayim, like the living creatures, the Malachim. L'fichach heino makar abrum v'yodo machmas abruim kamo sha'onu yodo malsam. Therefore, he doesn't recognize the creatures and know the creatures because they're created as we do. Ela machmas atzmo yodam. He knows them from his essence. L'fichach mitnei sheyodeh atzmo yodeh hakol. Because he knows his essence, he knows everything.